As I'm sure you all know, today is a big day in our cultural landscape. It's a day when we turn our attention to a battle between two mighty forces. Millions across the nation will be asking themselves, who will win? This day begins with the letter S, and it's called... What? No. Come on, stop acting like you don't know. I'm talking about sexagesima, obviously. Sexagesima. Today continues our church's countdown to Lent, which begins in 1.5 weeks. Sexagesima means 60 days until Easter, which means only 10 days until Lent. And don't ask me to do the math. Just agree with me. This day reminds us that we don't have much time to decide what we're going to give up or take on in this coming Lenten season. Probably beginning in the Middle Ages, the three Sundays before Lent, Septuagesima last week, 70 days, Sexagesima today, 60, and Quinquagesima next week, 50, were marked by a gradual leaving off of meat, cheese, and dairy. Septuagesima was considered the farewell to meat, or carne vale. Get it? Though these Sundays aren't really featured much in the church anymore, their invitation to a spiritual turn towards Lent is helpful. The penetrating gaze of Christ beckons you from across these next 60 days. How will you make that journey across this Lenten season to him? Well, of course, I have some suggestions. The first is taken from today's gospel reading. Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Father Ricardo, how do I do that? Well, my child, by not hiding your light under a bushel basket, for starters. What do you mean by that? How about I tell you a story about a time when I was hiding my light? Then, maybe with this example, you will realize some way that you might be concealing your light from the world. The year I was an associate priest at a church in Dorchester, Boston, was a miserable one. I had been placed by the diocese in a small urban parish, and it quickly became clear that the rector there did not want me around. Over those 12 months, I preached only 5 times at the main service. The one baptism I got to do happened only at the family's insistence because I had gotten to know their kids in Sunday school. I didn't get to ash anyone on Ash Wednesday, and the rector even suggested I take Easter Day off because I had no role in the service. So I felt disrespected, dismissed. Any complaints I made were rebuffed. To make matters worse, I was living clear across the country and apart from William that whole year. So now that you feel sufficiently sorry for me, here's the story. One weeknight, driving home from that church, I got caught in a traffic jam. I was wearing my clericals, it was getting dark, and a thunderstorm was coming. But I still had the window rolled down as my car slowly inched along the endless row of red brake lights in front of me towards the intersection. Far ahead, I could see a homeless man holding a cardboard sign trying to engage drivers and get some change. Well, I steeled myself because by then I knew that wearing a collar marked me as a target. Many were the times when, having said no to a request for change while I was in my clericals, I was told, "You're not a real Christian," or "Jesus would have helped me." Well, when the man finally saw me from far off, his face brightened up. Uh-oh, I thought. From about 30 feet away, he then pointed at me and started shouting, Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. Malachi 2, 7. Over and over, and I had no clue what he was talking about. But he was smiling and not scowling, so I figured I'd be okay. I nodded and smiled, pretending to know what he meant, and he smiled even bigger. Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. He shouted again, and I nodded vigorously and chuckled, hoping to not get caught in my ignorance, hoping he wouldn't ask for money. Finally, my car got near enough to him that he said, "Good evening, Pastor." Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. My eyes suddenly teared up. I had been feeling so low at that church, an unwanted appendage, and this stranger, this messenger of God, showed up to remind me of the light I carried as a priest. I nodded solemnly and thanked him, and the man smiled even bigger and said, "You have a blessed day." Then he continued on down the line of cars and never asked me for any money. What keeps your light from shining? Is it the voice of others or your own? Is it your circumstances? I've met with enough of you to know that this is not just an idle question. What keeps your light from shining? Is it the discomfort of taking a risk? Or is it the fear you might be transformed? You might, in a way, be stuck in your own internal traffic jam, feeling defeated or disregarded. Certainly, we as a nation are stuck with a thunderstorm on the horizon and already upon us, our rights and our safety dismissed and disrespected, fearful of the future. Well, allow me for a moment to be that messenger from God for you that man was for me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. We are called by Christ to shine in days of darkness, to light the way, to not hide our light under a bushel in fear. A lyric in the song "Ultralight Beam" by Kanye West echoes this charge. Just 9 words. This little light of mine, glory be to God. That's what I mean. Those 9 words. When you let your little light shine, you are giving glory to God, because what you bring forth is the holiness within you. Now, that may sound highfalutin, but all it really means is be brave. Live out your calling. Manifest your gifts. They are already in there. And how do you know when you're not letting your light shine? If you're doing nothing to make someone else's life better. Which brings me to the other suggestion I have for you on how to make your journey across this Lenten season and into the arms of Christ. It's in our first reading from Isaiah. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. It shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. What can you do to dispel the darkness and injustice that has enveloped our country? In this Lenten season coming up, how will you meet the challenges of these times? This is not a question of left and right anymore. It's a question of right and wrong. I am told by a few Republicans I know in this church right now and watching online that they too are appalled by the actions of our administration. Good. I would hope that Democrats and Republicans would be disgusted at our president's tweet of an image of the Obamas as apes, would be enraged at the lack of prioritizing the release of files that could unmask some very powerful men and women who have engaged in the sexual abuse of minors, would be dismayed at the inhuman treatment of people, including children, 70,000 of whom are currently held in 224 ICE detention centers in our nation. And if I have demonized all Republicans heretofore as a group without considering that some are as aghast as I am, I apologize. I do. But now let's hear your voice. Let's see your light. And I say that to all of you. It's a challenge we can take up this Lent and one that we should never have let drop. One more hard thing, then a happy thing, and then I'm done. A woman I know, one of the nicest people around, posted this about her friend on Facebook, which I will read in its entirety so that maybe you will hear her innocence and genuine shock. She writes about her friend S. S works just a couple blocks from where most of the ICE action has been happening in the Midwest. It's important to know that her skin is dark. Her parents became US citizens before she was even born. She is intelligent and calm and good under pressure. She has kept a low profile and has not been involved in ICE protests. S had an experience with ICE agents recently. She had gone across the street from work to get some lunch. She was stopped by ICE agents and asked for ID. She had her wallet and produced her ID. An ICE agent asked her if she had another form of ID and held a gun to her head when she couldn't produce it. The agent asked her if she had documentation now. She took the agents with her to work and showed them her passport. Her boss told the ICE agents to leave, and they did. S is one of the sweetest, kindest, and most level-headed people I've had the pleasure to know. ICE agents put a gun to her head for no reason. S is not confrontational. She doesn't have weapons. She is not a protester. She was going to get lunch. She was a citizen, period. It's one thing to read about ICE activity happening several states away from me. It's another to know that a friend had a gun held to her head. This hits very close to home. It happened to S. It can happen to anyone. Pray that someone you care about doesn't have a worse experience than S. Incidentally, this story prompted me to transfer the copy of my birth certificate I've carried around in my backpack these past 6 months into my wallet, because that's what it's come to. When Mr. Rogers encouraged children to look for the helpers in any scary situation they saw on TV or in real life, he meant people like those beautiful folks in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Please, if you haven't already, immerse yourself in videos and stories of the acts of heroic neighborliness these people have done for those in hiding afraid of ICE, Border Patrol, and other agents. I am so proud to be an American when I see them standing up for the vulnerable. That city's light shines so bright, it should blind any remaining indifference or fear you might have in these dark days. And they're not just buying groceries and picking up children from school and protesting and donating. They're doing it all in freezing weather. If you've ever lived in such cold climates, I have in Wisconsin, you know that's no small thing. Some have even paid for plane trips back from Texas for people from Minnesota abducted and taken to detention centers there, who, when by some miracle they are released, get left out in the middle of nowhere near El Paso, Texas, with no money or means to get home. This is America. ICE agents and helping angels. Phillips Brooks, Bishop of Massachusetts in the 1800s, wrote, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you shall be a miracle. Every day you shall wonder at yourself, at the richness of life which has come in you by the grace of God. Stop hiding your light under a bushel. Let it break forth like the dawn. Stop opting for comfort. When, for example, our outreach team puts out a call for volunteers to do a service project, stop sitting on your hands and sign up. Or come to the Saturday morning peace vigil outside the Los Gatos Library at 10 a.m. through the month of February every Saturday. A few of us were there yesterday, and we marched from the library along Main Street to Santa Cruz Avenue and back. It is about the gentlest protest you will ever attend. We were asked to march in silence, and I actually got shushed for talking as we walked along. Lent is coming. No more excuses. There is a battle going on out there between two mighty forces. Who will win? May God bless us all with strength and joy for that battle ahead.